austerity. Okay.
So first, let me start with, it's totally okay to agree or disagree, but just do it silently. And then when we have the questions, we'll have the questions, but don't. It's sort of like baking a souffle. You don't want to open the oven door. Yeah, trust me. I'm a chef on Chopped. I've won the contest, so. So I don't know. I've had a bug up my butt for 2 months sharing this one point. I was having a garage sale at my house, and I found this old book I'd gotten in India. And this statement I'm going to read to start off. This is like a primer of the pump, you know. It has a huge impact when I read it. There's certain things that have caught your attention in life, you know, and then when you read it, it's like volumes of sense feltness. Yeah, it's like worth 900 pages. It's just one sentence. Yeah, this is one of those, and it's stuck for a long time. So it says here, and it's from Ramana Maharshi. People know of Ramana Maharshi in India, a great master from India and stuff. And well, here he goes. So, and just important, each word is very important. So it says presupposing. So that's important. So suppose, what would be presupposing? It would be supposing that implies something before. Yeah? So you're not supposing something now. You're presupposing something. So you're saying there, you know. So you're doing this supposing now, but it implies before. This is a trick. You got to see it, because the mental state doesn't follow time like we seem to. It can move. It can use something that happens in time to imply prior to. Yeah, it plays around a lot, and it's doing it all day. So here he goes, presupposing the existence of a non-existent thing. Yeah. Presupposing the existence of a non-existent thing. So how I see this is the implied existence of the body as being all you are. Yeah. So it says presupposing the existence of the body as being you, when I don't believe you or I are the body. Yes? This presupposing. And then wanting to get salvation for this imaginary thing. See, this is the rub, yeah? So now we take ourselves to be something that we're not, and we want to find salvation, not from that, but as that. Yeah? In other words, we want to get salvation for that which we're not. Yeah, this is really, the talk can end now, because that's basically it. Really, that's like I was sharing last night, and you know, you see a lot of spiritual books and stuff, yes, and you know, like when they started doing that with cigarette packs of cigarette, they put a warning on it. And they said this could be hazardous to your health, you know, smoking the cigarette. Hopefully that some people would take the warning, most people don't, and you know. But here, I believe this statement should be on every first page of every spiritual book, so that you have an option. So you have an option to notice if this was so or not for you. So before you launched onto your next spiritual book, you could maybe get stopped. And in that stopping, maybe something would occur. You'd notice something. Yeah? So it would say, the first page would say, presupposing the existence of a non-existent thing. And to me, it's like, this guy's been here for a couple of days. It's like, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know what I mean? So when I read this, it basically implied a great span of time and activity that I had been involved with. This was the whole dilemma that I found myself in. There was the presupposing the existence of a non-existent thing, Paul, and then this thing wanted to get relief or freedom for Paul, or as Paul, but not from Paul. It couldn't imagine getting freedom from Paul because it was identified as Paul. You see, this is the dilemma with identification. It's not like being bonded to a chair. Yeah? To be bonded to a chair, it would be clear that I'm something and the chair is something, and then a handcuff or something would be bonding me to it. And if I wanted to be free from the chair, all I needed to do was find the key or a good locksmith to open up the key, and then I'd get up and I'd be freed from the bondage to the chair. Yeah? But it doesn't say bondage to, it says bondage of, because self isn't a thing. It's a non-existent thing. Therefore, it's not a thing. So the bondage isn't to anything. Yeah? It's for your bondage. It's a bondage of. It's an activity that needs us to comply with the activity to produce the sense of being bound. Yeah? In other words, the links of that chain cannot make a handcuff until I believe it has the ability to be a handcuff. And then in believing it, as Jesus says, as you believe, so it is, then it becomes seemingly so. And seemingly is an important word if you check it out in the dictionary. It means it appears to be true or false to you. So basically, you could say everything here is seemingly. Yeah? Everything is not resting on its own merits, it's resting on the merits you give it. Yeah? Not you as Paul, you think you're the one that's giving it, but mine. You know? So you and I, as the Course in Miracles says emphatically in Lesson 2, that you and I give everything all the meaning it has. That's what's happening here. You and I are giving everything all the meaning it has. Now, what happened is this has been given a meaning, and this has been given the meaning of being me. And in most cases, when I start and move, anytime I move into the world, I move from this reference. And what happens if it's false? What happens if it's a little off? Yeah. What happens if it is a non-existent thing that we're busily presupposing, yeah, to be us? Well, this is what happens, he says. When your practices themselves, yeah, so when you're trying to practice or do yourself into salvation for this thing, you know, for Paul to get realized, let's say, it says, when your practices themselves become a means of giving life to the non-existent thing, how can they destroy it? You see? Now, if it was something else, maybe what you did could destroy it, but it's nothing else. It's non-existent. So you can't destroy a non-existent thing. If you were busy trying to destroy it, it would give it sense of existence. Yeah? In other words, we would give it all the meaning it has by our running away from it or vanquishing it or beating it or therapizing it or changing, trying to change it so much, we would give it the relevance that it doesn't actually have. It's still a non-existent thing, but now it seems to be existent to us, and therefore we live as that as the first basis or the reference, and it may be off. And this great master that a lot of people you'll see give talks will have a picture of him on their table as a lineage, but very rarely is this addressed. That there may be a presupposing the existence of a non-existent thing when you start your movement towards or your movement away from things. Yeah? What you're moving towards may be based on this, and what you're moving away from may be based on this, and this, if this has no real basis, something's off. And maybe it will feel like a malaise, or like Buddhism says, suffering is the problem. And they didn't talk about, they had more of a sense of like a, this dissatisfaction, like a vague dissatisfaction, of, you know, like a weather front we're living under. We just don't feel okay. Like in recovery, it's like more extreme. There's an irritability, restlessness, and discontent that sort of drives you to keep seeking or trying to get out of oneself. And yet you can't get out of self as a self because it's the same situation. We fall upon this one sword because we don't notice it. And we don't know that everything, every step after this is put in place is tattooed by this, by the first phantom step that we didn't even know was taken. That phantom step becomes a shadow to each and every step we take after that. And when we look back, we call it us. We don't see it as a phantom or a non-existent thing. We call it us. Yeah. So when your practices themselves become a means of giving life to the non-existent thing, how can they destroy it? This is what, when I read this in a little freaking ashram in India, it's like, let's say I had the contemporary files at like 20 years of living. I was older than that, but let's just say 20 years of living on a chronological, linear little piece of film, let's say. So I had all these different things happen, all these different interests and desires and what happened. And then this crane came over with one template. You know, a template has a couple of cutouts, and when you put it on something, something's revealed. Well, this template went over all my behavior and explained all of it. This one sentence. It's just like my spiritual pants fell down, and thank God I didn't pick them up. I just fucking saw what? I was like, at that point, I had no thing, nowhere to hang my hat, my egoic hat, because I was a house painter. At that point, I had lost interest in house painting, so I wasn't even a good house painter. And the only thing I could really be proud of was my spiritual practicing. You know what I mean? I was a good meditator. I had worked on a loving gaze. I had that down. I looked pretty aloof, but in like a detached, not cripply emotional way, but a detached, spiritually advanced way. So when this happened, it was a threat to the non-existent thing, and all that supports the non-existent thing, which is the mental process of selfing. It was a big freaking threat. I mean, what a fucking nothing, you know. So it wasn't greeted with open arms. I was sort of in shock. Fuck. What do I do now? I had a lot of time on my hands. Tell me someone. So he says here as it goes on, to try to destroy this non-existent thing by practices is to be just like a thief turning himself into a policeman to catch the thief that is none other than himself. This produces a big pause in me. I don't know about everyone else, but the choo-choo train of self-will gets derailed and I'm sitting there. And in that pause, everything can be revealed. What happens if you may be prior to the formulation of that non-existent thing as you? Yeah. Maybe you're prior to all the need to get out of any kind of bondage. Maybe the freedom from bondage is prior to bondage, not after the bondage, you know? Prior to the bondage. Maybe the prior freedom has nothing to do with freedom from anything. It's inherently, innately free of anything, yeah? Maybe you're more of timelessness than a process of time. It could be. If you get moved to that square, it may really resonate with you, yeah? And you can call it pretty, you know, this is like home. And now, blue is seen as blue and red is seen as red. Things become clear. There's no more metaphysical questions. It's like just, where are my keys, you know? There's no freaking abstractness. You're so clear. Basically, there's nothing that's needed to be done, but there'll be a lot of doing. But there won't be the sense of being the doer, yeah? The doing can't produce the sense of doer. It just facilitates the mental process. It gives the mental process to claim the doing and then use it to imply the doer. And that's what the first and largest movement of selfing is, which is like a thief in the night. It's the claim. So what happens is it becomes cognizant of some faculties going on, like thinking, feeling, doing, and then it claims the doing and the thinking and the feeling by calling it my feelings, my thoughts, and my actions. So now it uses what happens with or without you. You've had experiences, if you think you're a body. When you were a baby, there was no sense of being other for quite a while. Yeah? So there was a lot of actions happening and a lot of feelings and maybe a couple of thoughts were coming, and yet none of them were coupling with the idea that you were the thinker or you were the doer. You know what I mean? When you see a baby take a shit, it's not looking like embarrassed. You know, just like that. There's no sense of doership whatsoever, but there's a whole lot of doing. Yeah? So what happened? The mental state grew. The brain developed mental processes, and one of them was sort of like an organizing principle. It says, listen, the way to explain this incredibly insane place is that it's happening to me. All right, let's crown this idea of being a body, but a special body, me, and let's live in that kingdom. Okay, see what's happened. For me, what happened was that sense of life is happening slowly but inexorably started getting turned like a big Titanic into life's happening to me. Yeah, and then the feeling of life, which I think has joy and wonder, evokes joy and wonder and miracles and spontaneity in one who's appropriate, now started getting replaced by an interpretation, a mental interpretation, based on what's more important than now, both yesterday and tomorrow. You know? Literally, isn't it? The thought system definitely values yesterday and tomorrow more than now. It's using now to think about yesterday and tomorrow. If the thought system recognized how valuable now is, it wouldn't be thinking as much. It would be sitting in the silence and being in this presence. But no, it takes this opportunity to obsess about itself as a long-lasting, independent, separate entity, a body. And so by thinking about you, the you that you think about is a body. You do not think about yourself as spirit. You can't. And even if you say, I'm thinking about myself as a spirit, it's still framed as a body. The thought system pictures you and me as a body. You know, as the Course in Miracles says, the brain interprets to the body. So the brain is interpreting this whole event to the body. So the brain, if you're listening to the brain all day, it believes you're a body, nothing else. So obviously it would be quite easy to sort of fall for that and now take your new starting point, a new reference point, where instead of sensing the onness or the awareness or the consciousness or beingness, you now hope to sense all that stuff from the idea of being a body. So now you want an experience of being instead of being the being. You want an experience. You want to have a real high of bliss, but not really truly realizing the ocean of bliss. Yeah? What you are now becomes a possibility, or maybe one day I'll have an experience of what I am. But it's been neutered. Its influence has seemingly been neutered here. And we're living an incredible interpretation about yesterday and tomorrow. And even now, the here that we believe we're in is a mental here. It's a mental here. It's chock full of yesterday and tomorrow. Because every time you think about today, it's just a shadow of yesterday, and it's projected or forecasted as a future event. As the Course in Miracles also says, we see only the past. To me, that's a form of blindness, isn't it? If I was seeing only the past and wasn't able to recognize now, I actually would be blind to the now. And so if I'm using that way of looking called self-centeredness to find what I am, I'm going to be blind to what I am. Because what's looking, what's seeing is what you and I are looking for. It's inherently the case. We are awake. Now, you can have a choice, not even a choice. There's a possibility that you can be awake to being awake, but there's also a stronger possibility that you can seem to be immune to the awakeness, or numb to it, or not being able to acknowledge the awakeness, and it will go so further that you'll try to do something to become awake. When you can't do and have yourself into being, you can only do and have yourself into another mental state. The doing and having is more of an expression, not a way to arrive, but it's an expression of where you are here. If you use it as an arrival, there's no way in hell something in time could produce timelessness. Everything, all the solutions that we're looking for are back. They're prior. Yeah, if we would just maybe entertain that you're not this, then maybe, like the court, like in recovery we say, you'll be placed in a position of neutrality with no thought or effort. To me, the neutrality is square zero. Yeah? Instead of starting and calling square three, which the sense of a self is a mental process that takes time to happen. Yeah? The first thing that occurs here is conscious contact. Then, after the conscious contact, the mental process says, I'm the one who's in conscious contact. See? It presupposes you before the conscious contact, but you are not before the conscious contact as a mental state. And as you are before the conscious contact. Yeah? But not as an afterthought. And this is the heist of all heists. It places you, right? It places you at the original scene of the crime, yet you have nothing to do with it. As that, yeah? It says, you're the one who's seeing. You're the one who's feeling. It goes unbelievable. You're the one who's tasting. Every problem you've ever run into has been your problem. Every fucking thought has been your thought. All the time that has been allotted to this action figure in this life, it's your time. Everything, your. And you don't believe there's a huge difference between time and your time? Look at the simple example. Put the word love there. Put the word sex there. Put the word money there. Feel it. Feel what it means to you. Yeah. I'm not going to change the word at all, yet I'll change the weight of it. Unbelievably. And yet I don't change the word. Just put my sex, my love, my money. It's totally different, isn't it? Like I always say, I want everyone in this room to have a lot of money, but I don't want any of you to have any of my money. See? It's money, but the my makes it totally different. That's the selfing. It's the mind, the I-ing, the me-ing all day is what's... It's like they say in physics, the greatest influence of any experiment is the observer of it. And another statement in physics is, observation distorts what's observed. So every time we lay an eye on something, we've made it something. And then we want to know it. And to me, the knowing that we know mentally is a neutering. It's like the thing I used last night. You go to the river with a glass of water, glass, you get some of it, you think you got the river, but you've missed the most important essence, the rivering. Yeah? The flow isn't, you can't capture the flow in the glass. You've got to jump in the sense, you've got to jump in the river to get the rivering. Yeah. You can't take a bit and go, oh, I know, this is the Colorado River. I know it. I got it. I know it. Put it aside. Let's get on with other things. This idea of knowing is so cursory. It's like not even landing. You just sort of touch the surface of something. Oh, I know. Oh, no, I know. Just like in recovery, people go to one AA meeting and they think they know recovery. Recovery's 12-step service. And then when they most sorely need it and they're going with their possibilities, I can't go to that fucking AA. I know AA. It sucks. Doesn't work for me. You went 1 hour. And now you're extremely knowledgeable about it? Just give me a break. It's the whole head is, I don't know. When you don't know, then you're relegated to finding out. And finding out can be very convincing. If you knew this one sentence in your gut, you could bypass 8,000 pages of scriptures. You wouldn't be walking in buying a 1,200-page book on consciousness. You would know what consciousness is by the living of it. Yeah? You won't have to rely on some dead authority. You very rarely will rely on a live authority. You got to go with a dead one because it's easier to make up something about them. You know what I mean? You wouldn't. This one thing is worth thousands of books. Because if this isn't addressed, everything is going to be addressed from that point that wasn't addressed. Everything is going to be addressed by that point that wasn't addressed. You mistake this little one, it's going to follow you every other step of the way. That's exactly how I felt when it was broken to me. It just totally, like an avalanche, just washed away a lot of stuff all at once, like a flash flood. Yeah. And then there's another beautiful statement that always does it for me, which is out of the Course, where it describes, I believe, everyone's day perfectly. And it says, You and I are the dreamer of the dream. Yeah. I like to use the word dreaming. I don't like the idea of nouns, you know. So you and I are the dreaming of the dream. We forget that we're dreaming. Now, to me, that was what was interesting to me. How the hell are we forgetting that we're dreaming if we're the dreaming? Well, how it downloaded to me is we're remembering ourselves as a dreamt. I'm remembering myself as a dreamt, and in identification with this, I seemingly forget that I'm dreaming. All right, so now in this condition, everything I dreamt now has power to affect me as this. Thoughts, feelings. You know what happens when you own a thought? It owns you, doesn't it? As soon as a thought, up here it's nobody's. But as soon as the my goes, it's like a fucking net, you know, like a fucking butterfly net. My thought, now the thought's captured and then it owns you. It's like people want a bitch, they want to find a way how to shoo the moths from the lamp, the light. Just, you know, undo the bowl. The moths aren't that interested. They like the light attracts them. Take the bulb out, they go. Yeah? You're the gravitational pull. Thoughts aren't driving you crazy. They're being used to drive you crazy and actually to produce the you that's driven crazy. And then when you get the great relief and they stop, there'll still be a you that they stop driving crazy. The you doesn't go away when something comes and something goes. The you doesn't go away when you have an ego or when you lose an ego. There's still the feeling of the one who had the ego and the feeling of the one who lost the ego. That's the bondage. It has nothing to do with the topics. Doership, non-doership, both of them could be bounding mechanisms. If you feel you're the one that's doing something, and if you feel you're the one that's not doing something, they're both chaining. The freedom is prior. You are inherently totally dismissed of all the shenanigans that are going on. Does it mean you're not interactive? This is an action figure. This is a world of experiences, and you're going to have experiences with this interface. But what you are is not an experience. And it can't be experienced. You cannot turn these senses upon what's driving through the senses. What's seeing is never going to be seen, ever. What's feeling is never going to be felt. What you are is so you, nothing can find it. Because every time you look in, it's you. Like St. Francis says, what's looking you're looking for? And so you start going, well, you're thinking if you move fast enough, you catch yourself. Or go, oh, I'm not really interested. Try to catch it. You're never going to see. The eye's never going to see itself. It's always seeing, but it never sees itself. We want experiences. We're experience junkies. We are. We'd rather have an experience, a real high experience, than be stabilized in an incredible sense of okayness. Because you can't write a Facebook blog about ordinary dog shit awareness. You can't. Well, talk to you tomorrow. Really? It's like, there's no bells and whistles. No one's coming up and, oh, you're so clear looking. No, none of this shit's happening. You're just going to stores, doing this, doing that. But you're aware that you're incessantly on. That's just all it is, really. It's much better. You can flaunt experiences much more can you than this. This is nothing, there's no shine to it. Literally. It's totally empty. When I do these talks, I have not gotten one thing out of every fucking talk I've ever come to. Not one bit. I haven't mined one experience out of thousands of opportunities. Not one bit, not even a drop. Not even a drop I squeezed out of it. I can't remember any of it. It's like when I go home, people don't even ask me anymore. But when I go home, they ask me, how's the trip? It's over. You know, I had a good latte. I wore a shirt. I can talk about that, but, well, how are the talks? I have fucking no idea. You know what I mean? I can't get it. I can't numerate it. I can't add it up. The eight talks added up to such an exquisite fucking space. No, it's not like that. The space is already there. It's sort of, you know, like Buddhism, they talk about it empty. It's empty. It's void. It's void, really. It's a void. And yet you find yourself in a vacuum where there's no experience. You don't have to have an experience of yourself to be what you are. Yet it influences all your experiences. This is the basis of traveling lighter. It isn't that your experiences get great. They may or they may not, but you'll travel lighter over them. Yeah? Because now your basis doesn't start at the experiential level. It's prior. And prior is all the relief we're looking for in this place is not in this place. It's of that timelessness. The relief to time is not in time. And in the relief of time does not take time. The relief of time is timelessness. And I believe you and I are timeless. That's what we are. And we're having a seemingly an experience in time. Because you have to have time to have an experience. There has to have time for something to happen. But what always happens needs no time. What's always here needs no time to arrive. And it takes no time to depart because it doesn't arrive or depart. And also, it takes no time to culminate or crescendo because it's complete in and of itself. It's not in a process to become being, it's being. Yeah? It's not willing and wasing, it's being. It's complete, a total different modality than the mental self-centeredness most of us are saddled with. So when we use these eyes that have been totally manipulated, we're blind to what's seen. That's the problem. People want to start looking for what they are instead of just realizing, I don't know, and then finding out what they are. So I find if this would be, like if I ever had a school, probably only be two grades. This would be the first grade. And you'd stay in for a year at least. You'd be left back a couple times. Just stay on this thing. Why not? Why add stuff unless this is solid? It doesn't mean anything else because everything else will go on the ledger of time and it will become somehow you'll have some relevance in doing it and also relevance in losing it. This takes all of that out of the equation. If you're inherently that, that's that. And what does it mean? It means it's always available at all times right where you are no matter what you believe your condition is. We keep lending meaning to conditions and we give them the power to affect us as if they can move us from what we are. Everywhere can't be moved out of everywhere. Oldness can't be moved out of oldness. It just seems to be so. We believe, as Jesus says, as you believe, so it is. Well, in this case, it's true. We believe that something has power over us, and then it seems to exert power over us. I could go on and on, you know, but there is all these activities that have been claimed, and for me, I call it selfing, and their main point is to imply or presuppose or assume or infer this non-existent thing as being you. Yeah? That's what they do. If you look at the thought system, it sure sounds like you have a lot of shit to do with shit you have nothing to do with. It's constantly saying, you know, like, just with the knee. The knee went out in the water. But how I would usually say, what happened? I hurt my knee. So if you can hear it, it sounds like I went in the water with a hammer and I started banging my knee until I was sufficiently convinced I hurt it. I hurt my knee. I didn't hurt my knee. I was in the water having fun and it went out. But the way we talk, it's like I had something to do with something I had nothing to do with. Yeah? Same thing with the hair. I always use the example. You know, people haven't seen me and I come back and my hair's longer and they go, hey, Paul, you're growing your hair. I go, yeah, I'm looking pretty good. Yeah, I'm doing a good job. And maybe the guy's receding or balding. I go, you're not doing well. You join a hair growing group, you know. I did and my hair's growing faster than ever did. I could go on and on and take great pride in my hair as if I had anything to do with it. All I do is not cut it and it grows. But the language implies I have a lot to do with it and I have nothing to do with it. It's doing it quite a lot. It's constantly assuming you're the big mover and shaker. It presupposes you're before every feeling, yet why is when you have a feeling you don't like and you go, I didn't want to feel that, but it's an afterthought, isn't it? You felt it. Isn't it? It isn't like before the feeling you can go, oh, I didn't want to feel that one. No. it's the feeling occurs, and then your head says, I didn't want to feel that. But you felt it already. The feeling always beats the afterthought. Yeah. But the thought, the afterthought, presupposes you were before the feeling. That's why you get guilty about feelings that arise, because you believe you had something to do with it, and you shouldn't have done that. The same thing with thoughts. People get guilty and embarrassed about the thoughts that are happening ahead, and they don't want to tell anyone, oh, I had thoughts about this woman. This, that. No, you didn't. There was just thoughts about a woman. But we presuppose that we were the thinker, and then we get guilty or proud about it. It's all fucking claiming. And when you own something, it owns you. And then you bitch about it. Oh, the thoughts are driving me crazy. Hey, listen, you fed them for 15 years. My, come here, my, come here, my thought, come here. Ow! Why, get bad, my thought, go! And it won't leave. You've owned it. It has your scent. It's going to follow you fucking forever. You'll have the same thoughts you had when you first went into first grade and you felt embarrassed when you go to a club now. You know? I bet you everyone's looking at me. You have the same thought when you're 8. You know what I mean? It's all rehashing. The only thing that changes is scenery and nouns, you know? Instead of Sue breaking your heart, it was Mary. It's the same fucking thing. Everything is rehashed here. We call in recovery resentment, which means to re-feel. Everything is re-felt here. Everything is rethought. Everything is rehashed. Everything is redone. It's the same. Just, it's sort of like a marathon runner in a closet, you know? And yet what happens is, like, every 5 laps, they change the scenery, so you feel like you're in the new race. But you're just fucking, you just, you know, you've lost all possibility. It could be different, so you're thinking, and but if the door would just open, would you just, would you go, no, you rush out, and you run, and you fucking feel like a fulfilled, yes. That's what the mind is like. We got it in a freaking straitjacket of a thought system, which has failed, by the way. It's a failed system. And we have it like this marathon runner in this thing. So when it entertains freedom, it's like the only way it can entertain is maybe one day I will be free. Don't you notice that? Or okayness. Oh, I hope I will be okay after this passes. It's everything has been displaced in time. It's hidden there. The heist is going on completely. Right now is all there is, and yet all that could possibly happen now has been hidden in time with the hopes that it will happen. You think, if I get that, I'll finally arrive. It's like we used to have this old story about a guy sitting in his one-bedroom apartment. Feels really good. It's Sunday morning. Planning on a nice day, and he's reading this Sunday paper, and there's like a 2-page color printout of a beautiful couch, you know, really beautiful couch. And then he looks around his apartment and he realizes he's couchless, you know, he doesn't have a couch. And he's starting to think, fuck, what would happen if I had a couch? Maybe I'd meet my future wife and we could see our first child on that couch. So now the couchlessness is getting more important, you know? And why are all those friends I know have couches? Why didn't they tell me how important it is to have a couch? And now you're resenting people who have couches, and you're like, suddenly you're having a great day, now it's not such a great day because you feel couchless. Yeah. So what happens? You decide, all right, I'm going to get a freaking couch. And so you're working hard, and you're calling your peep friends up and talking about the couch constantly, like, or the retreat you're going on, and they're bored stiff, but they, you know, they don't want to say anything because they need your approval too. You know? So okay, yeah, Bill, it'll be great when you get that couch. You know, yeah, I can't wait for you. I'm so happy you're finally getting a couch. So suddenly the couch is going to be delivered on Saturday. And you put out at Facebook, all right, couch party. No one gives you the up. No one, no RSVPs, whatever. No one shows up. But the couch comes in, you sweep it, and you, oh, come bring it right in here. And, you know, the wife is coming up, and the baby's popping out, and all this. And so the couch is there, and suddenly, all right, you take the plant and you sit on it. And it feels great for a minute. And then you go, Jesus, I got to get a matching rug. You know what I mean? So the mythical bear, which was the couch, as soon as you arrive, turns into here again. And then the mental state says, well, there's another bear. And then you, oh, there, just like a good soldier, get to that bear, and every bear you get to is here. Yeah. So we're invalidating to here with all these mythical theres, but whatever mythical there it is, when you arrive, it's here. Instead of just here, not acknowledging this, and maybe you won't be so attracted to the mythical theres. All you need is a possibility. Everyone in this room has tons of faith. All of us have tons of faith already. It's a force of mind. Faith here manifests through the vehicle it's put in. So if you have faith in the thought system, it's going to produce anxiety. Your life is going to be more determined by what's not happening than what's happening. And in what's not happening, anything can happen. And the mental state has a field day, imagining terrible shit most of the time. And yet you believe it, so you feel like it's happening now, when it isn't, yes? The same faith, if not put in the failed system, and maybe surrendered or given up, that same faith can produce an ease and comfort in your condition right now, in your skin, and in the circumstances you find yourself in. It's the same energy, it just matters what vehicle you put in. In a sense, that's what we are. We're like a two-seater. Yeah? Either we fall for the mental interpretation, or we have some accidents concerning it. If you abstain from that, you won't be having to fight what's not happening. It will be overridden by one simple fact that this has, which is it's happening. Yeah? You'll be anchored here because it's here. Yeah? And you'll have an immunity to there and then. And all of these things that you believe had to be produced by thought or effort will come as a byproduct of one thing and one thing only, of stepping back into the priorness instead of going ahead looking for it forwardly. Yeah? But stepping back to realize you're not this and find out then from there what happens. What will you find out if I'm not this? You may find out that you are what you're looking for, as or some of the great little cryptic statements are like, the seeker is the sought, yeah? And then when you read like Hoang Po, and where he says, a great Zen master, a Chinese Zen master, he says, whatever can be perceived cannot be perceiving. That can save you tons of time. Or you can't use the Buddha to seek the Buddha. You can't use mind, big M mind, to seek mind. You can't use the light to seek the light. If you do, for eons, it's not going to work. Because maybe in this case, just like it says here, maybe if you're looking for the Buddha, you're in the active denial of your own Buddhahood. It would be the best way to hide your own Buddhahood by looking for it outside, wouldn't it? It would be the same thing as this presupposing a false existence as being so. Yeah? We also make up Buddhists with the hopes that if we met them, some of their Buddhahood would rub off on us. But in a sense, we're actually in the denial of our own Buddhahood by seeking the Buddha. And the same thing, we're denying that we're mind by using it to seek mind. Why would mind look for itself? It's seeing from itself all day. To look from itself, it must have been objectified by the false subject, yeah? If left alone, you're looking from it all day. You're never going to find it because you're looking from it. That's why things aren't working. That's why things, spiritual practices, aren't bringing you to the point, because this template cannot be overrun by doing more. Whatever you're doing, it's going to imply the doing to point to the doer. Or it's going to make the attempt. Now, you can stop it in its tracks by seeing it, but if you find yourself looking from it, you won't even notice those tracks. You'll be leaving the tracks every step of the way. But if you see it, you see it, it has the ability of not being able to couple with you. Yeah? Because after the fact, when you become an object, then the thoughts sort of look at you all day in their weird way. It's almost like drones are hovering over you, isn't it? The thoughts are just going over every little fucking thing, every that you ever did or could do, It's like endless surveillance. Yeah? Because you're an object and it can zero in on it. And they shoot some big salvos at you, doesn't it? Man, it's got some whoppers like bunker busters. All right, you're inherently bad. It's unbelievable. But if you see that, the thoughts cannot see what you are. They can only see you as an object. The thoughts cannot hover over what you are. They can only hover over what you're not. They can hover over you as a body, an action figure, a historical action figure, because you can be thought about in the past as a body, and you can be worried about in the future as a body, but what you are cannot be thought about. There is no surveillance over what you are. All there is seeing. It's never the seen. It's never the looked at. It's never the kept critiqued of. There's no critiquing, no judging, nothing. It's just wide open, spacious, like sky-like mind. Yeah? There's no fucking drones hovering in it. But as soon as you become an object, the thoughts see you as such. Yeah? And they think about you all day. And they tell you how you were, how you're going to be, and how they were, and how they're going to be, and how the job's going to be, and how the next 20 years of my life are going to be, and how who's going to win on Sunday, who's going to lose, da, da, da. It's pontificating all fucking day. We call it playing God in AA. And it says the first thing you have to do is quit playing God. What is the... Look at it. Isn't it playing God? Doesn't it tell you sometimes when you wake up, it tells you how the day's going to be and you haven't even gotten up yet? The day's going to suck, I know it. How does it fucking know it? Has it ever really been right? It's slavery. You either look from the chains with the hopes of finding someone to get you out of it, or you see them and realize you were never in them. One takes time, may not work. One's timeless and doesn't need to work. Yeah? It doesn't take a second to get out of an imaginary place. It doesn't take a second to solve an imaginary problem. You just have to see what's so. Because when you see what's so, or actually, when you see what's not so, that's the seeing of what you are. You are that which sees what's not so. Yeah. It's just a slight little shift. It's not truly prior, but I like to... You have to paint a picture for the mind to get it. But it's sort of like taking a step back, and you're just a little bit... So instead of seeing from here, you look, you see it. Yeah? Instead of looking from the mental's established fact, prior to it, it's not a fact. After it, it's a fact that gets re-echoed all day. But prior to it, it's not a fact. It's not so. We come here to have satsang. You know, for me, these statements saved me a lot of time. And like the Course in Miracles says, if you're reading the Course, then maybe this book is for you. And if it is, its main purpose is to save you time. So they have a great chapter in the Course called I Need Do Nothing, where they go over all the ways, you know, like meditation, service, devotion, of trying to realize your go to that, whatever, yes? And it says because the big M intends it, it will work, but it may take lifetimes and lifetimes. And it says, listen, all of them, if they're worth their salt, are going to lead to one realization, and that realization is, I need do nothing. And my feeling is, why not start there? Why not start at the I need do nothing? Because all the somethings are going to end up there anyway. You're going to do all this shit, and it's going to end up, I needed to do nothing. Why not start at the I need do nothing? It just, to me, makes total sense. Why not? Yeah. How many somethings have we have acquired in this room? And in a sense, at the end, it's going to end up totally nothing. Yeah. But nothing is what is the gift that keeps on giving. Nothing is the everything. So why not just start there? Put it to the test. See what happens, you know? For me, the pants fell down, the spiritual pants, and I lost the belt or something. I couldn't pull them back up. And I got used to it, you know. People would call me, "Oh, you missed a great teacher." I said, great, you know. "Oh, you missed the meditation." Which, yeah, fine, that's fine, it's cool. Because I realized I've never changed. What I am is the same before I came in here, during it, and after it. It's never blinked. It didn't get better. It didn't get worse. You're not going to get, you know, you're not going to see more by going like this. Let's, all right, everyone, we're having an hour of seeing. Come on. You've signed up for the extreme version, so come on. All right, switch to hearing. Feeling. No, is it any thought or effort to see? Is there your whole life? When you open your eyes, it's like the horses are ready right behind the fucking lids. Yep. How long did it take for this to appear? How long for whatever? No, not any time at all. Was it any effort? Do you find like 2 o'clock you're tired of seeing? You may be tired of seeing it as an opinion, but does the consciousness get droopy a little bit? Needs like a shot of coffee? You know? No. And do you run out of it? I mean, if she's, "I saw so much today, I won't have enough for the weekend. I got to fucking close shop for a while." No, you can see tons of shit. It's never going to overwhelm you. You hear tons of shit all day. And there's no thought of effort in it. Why have we made our own out what we are so much to do with effort and thought? What do you most see? What's the most attractive thing when you see a little baby? You know, some woman or man comes in with the best looking clothes, $30,000 Mercedes, $30,000, that'd be nothing. $200,000 somewhere I'm at, you know. $6,000 Honda, used, that would be high for me. But all right, $300,000 Mercedes, and pulls up, and you know, and yet someone comes with a baby, all the attention goes to the baby, not the person. You're like the kid, because the kid's awake, you know. And we just love it because it's such a reminder, we can taste it, yeah? Why have we exiled ourselves from that? Just because we're in a bigger body doesn't mean that quality of mind is gone. It wasn't only available for 2 years. Wonder and awe is very plentiful right now. You bring the wonder and awe to life. It's not some fucking crop you pick. You're the bringer of it. You're the bringer of the joy. Whatever, you know, turns your top, it sort of draws it out of you, but it's not producing it. The surfing didn't produce joy. The surfing brought the joy out of me. Yeah? Yeah. So, I think I'm over, man. 8-day run. I don't know when I'm going to change topics, so make sure, if you ever want to come back, listen to some of the tapes of that month that I've done somewhere else. If I'm still saying the same thing. I'm just going to pound away. I don't know. It seems like, why go anywhere else? If that one little statement has the most influence of everything that follows it, and it's right at the point that if you only take one step back, you don't have to redo your steps much. It's just one step back. Just see that non-existent thing is a non-existent thing. Yeah? That's not much, I don't believe. It's not like hard. You just see, hey, maybe I'm not a body. I'm not a long-lasting independent. Just put the idea in there and see what the mind does with it. If the grace is available, it's going to dawn on you. Yeah? And you'll have what? Freedom from the bondage of self. And when everyone who's ever had a big wallop of it, I don't think anyone else has ever described it any differently. When it seems to happen, it's immediately recognized that it's the only thing that's been happening. It's not like, oh, all this shit real is real, and then this real. No, it's like, wow, it's always been this way. When you get a free sample, yes, you have that direct hit, it's always been this way. I just wasn't seeing it, you know, because I was too busy looking. in a blind manner, which is self-centeredness. That's it. Any questions? Yes? How are you, honey?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
Good. Thank you very much. I find this is prompted by your saying when you serve the joy comes out of you. So I find that I'm gravitating now towards things that I enjoy. And I don't know if that's just another.
Don't put too much thought in it.
Okay.
Just enjoy it.
I feel like
you're not under review all the time. You know what I mean? If you have something like when you were a kid and you went to the shovel, you didn't go, "Well, should I be going to the shovel?" You know what I mean? Or you saw the sand pit, you'd run right in. You go, "Should I be going to the sand pit?" You know, you didn't have this fucking reviewer going on. If something moves, you go for it. You know, why not? Sheila, isn't it about time?
Yeah.
Does everything have to be put under review? Shit. Yeah. I was saying once, you know, in recovery, before you get sober, that's when you need to be observant. Afterwards, now everyone's hyper-observant. That's when you should be chilled out. Fucking now, you know, you're not insane. You can do things. And then, is this selfing? Fuck it, don't. That's the selfing. The feeling of being the one. Anything that's being used to imply the one, it's the sense of being the one. That's the selfing. It has nothing to do with what's happening. It could be construed as good or bad. It's claiming both to point to this, to presuppose the seeming one. Yeah? See that. You know, have that as an understanding so when the heist is occurring, you'll witness it. Instead of getting the security system up after the thief is in the house, you'll see it trying to get into the house. Yeah? Seriously. You can beat it. It's of time. The sense of self is produced in time. You're timeless. You are prior to its production. We fall under the illusion through the presupposing that it was so. That's not true. It's produced, and then when it's produced, it feels like it was before the production. That's part of the production. You can see it. And when you see it, you're not looking from it, and then its influence is weakened terribly or greatly. However way you want to look at it. From its point of view, it's terrible. Let me give you another example, because we have time, right? You want? Yes? All right. I'm going to use the snake story. It's a famous one. No one's heard of you, probably. So there's this, every year in the snake world, the snake molts its skin. It doesn't do it, obviously. The molting happens. The snake doesn't start, you know, molting. You know what I mean? It's like, if it was self-centered, it was probably thinking it was doing it. All right, I'm molting now. I mean, it's fucking insane. So the skin of the snake molt, you know, falls off the snake every year. Okay? So we're going to look at that one event from two points of view. Yeah. So from the point of view of the skin, and now remember, the skin thinks it's the snake. The skin thinks it's the whole snake. Yeah? So when the skin starts feeling like it's moving off the snake, this is like Armageddon to it, because now its lack of relevance is going to be revealed. It's not the snake. So what does it do? It jacks into the poor snake's head and says, "Buy a lot of moisturizer." You know what I mean? Do not go out in the sun. In the sun. Watch out for that rock. Don't go there. You know what I mean? It's now very concerned about its existence, the skin, but implied as the whole snake. Yeah. From the snake's point of view, it's hallelujah. The old snake's gotten heavier, it's not shiny, so it's not attracting female snakes, it's got snags, it gets stuck on rocks, you know, it's slowing you down. And so the skin falls off, it's like hallelujah to the snake, but the same event from the skin's point of view, it's like fucking Armageddon. That's what it's like. Many people are referring or being presupposed as the one that's saying, oh no, don't go there, don't go there. That's not you. That's the selfing. That's the skin. Yeah, you're going to be fucking great when it sloughs off. This is what happens at these meetings. People are presupposed to be the one that feels something. And so therefore they're loyal to that. Yeah, there's an affiliation with it because it feels like it's them. It's not you. In a sense, deep down, you have never said a damn thing. You're just always available at all times, right where you are, no matter what the seeming conditions seem to be, with no requirement necessary except on your side to meet it. Seriously. What do you go back to all day? That oneness, yes? Our interest and attention enslaved to the selfing, what it goes back to is deemed to be in, which is the brain, but the brain is out also. The brain is a thing. It's out. This is all out. Yeah? Like everything else here is a dualistic movement, like the universe breathes, expands, contracts, the lungs expands, contract, everything, you know. Everything like this. Well, interest and attention is sort of like that. Interest and attention goes out. Out, you know, onto things all day. And then, in a way, its true orbit would be to go in to nothingness, yeah, which is its source. But what happens is it gets stopped at the border by this big billboard with your happy face on it. So it says, this is you, bing! And so you say, you went in. This isn't in. This is out. What you call your it, oh, I'm going to go home and go in. You're not going inside ever. This is outside. In is not of thingness. In is no thingness. Out is thingness. This is a pure, perfect out. And the brain is out. So when you go out all day, and then you're thinking you're going to go back in and review the day, you're reviewing the day out. You're not getting the perspective of no thing on thingness. You're getting the perspective of thingness on thingness. Exactly. That's why the Course says that what you are doesn't understand what the fuck everything's being said up there. Because the brain is interpreting to the body. The brain's language is out, and it's interpreting everything out. What we need, what's the greatest leavening agent here is no thingness. A little of nothingness will go a long way in thingness to allow you to travel lighter in thingness. Yeah? But there's no relief in thingness with another thingness. It's of nothingness. And where our interest attention goes there, unless it's stopped by the mental roadblock, which is you, the idea of being a body. If you can just question it, your interest tension will fly back into its source, and your real relief here is brought to this place through you. It's not found out here. You bring the relief. Your interest attention goes into the nothingness, and as it's moving into here, some of it drops on you, and you get a little lighter. Yeah, and you feel it. It's like the perfect, it's the perfect breath, finally. Not boom, 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 boom. This is called the loop of self-importance. You know, just boom, boom, boom. Everything's seen by me. Everything's heard by me. No, everything's heard by root. Everything's seen by root. And you feel it. You have a sense of aliveness, finally. You're like on the pulse of living. You're not a fucking vertical carcass. You know, you're alive, yes. I'm alive!
So, there's miracles that we all belong to, which I'm taking just arbitrarily to mean sort of a shift of perspective. And I somehow recall at a very tiny age, at a young age, just going through a horrible, you know, crying thing. And all of a sudden, I heard this crying coming from someone. And I somehow put it together that was me doing that, this, or that was this body. And I think that's probably one of the, you know, primal experiences I had of flaming, you know, of awareness of body, which I'm taking to be also awareness of mind. You know, that they're sort of all mixed together, the awareness of body and the awareness of mind. It wasn't, I mean, I don't think I had necessarily what I would call a sense of body until I had that thought in other times. And
yes.
I probably, you know, then reinforced that all my crazy. And now we're talking about seeing a sort of almost a reversal, although you can't really have a reversal, because we've gone through this whole life and become addicted to everything, you know, thoughts and identifications.
We haven't, but the mental state has.
Yes.
We're not.
Right.
We're not addicted to anything.
Yes. So it's like standing up and somebody's pouring gold coins, and your normal thing would be pull up your shirt and capture. And what we're talking about here is just let it happen, you know, and just hang out. And it's wow. That's sometimes pretty hard. And I'm talking to you. You went through the whole addiction thing. In a real heavy sense, but I'm trying to come to terms with dropping all that. I mean, that's
don't come to terms with it. Just
yeah.
go through it.
Yeah.
Fucking, there's no terms.
Yeah.
The terms aren't on your side. You'll be dictated the terms. This is like a white flag surrender, not like, oh, we're gonna, this is a conditional surrender. It's not a conditional surrender. You're going to be led. You're
so
going to be directed as this action figure.
So the inspirations of which you, you know, brought started off with are stronger than the addiction. It's where it's going.
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah, the things for me, I have faith in mind, you know, and I don't know. We have that name for it for something abstract, but grace. If the grace is there, you know, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
So, like Ramana would always say that you can only take the ball so far, and then you have to put it down, and then it's the grace that takes it the rest of the way. Yeah, to me, that's just faith in mind. I have faith in mind. That's why we don't do retreats and intensives or anything. I don't think you need 8 hours, you know, 8 hours, 7 days a week to go over this. I think you just need a little invitation and then entertain it on your own terms.
But of course,
because that's where you want it to be. You know?
Mind has different meanings. Mind has different meanings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I have faith in it, and whatever, however it translates to you, I would imagine after a while you'll have a sense feltness about it, and that will be sort of like very intimate to you. And it may, and it, you'll be your own scripture playing itself out, you know? You'll understand serenity and comprehend peace, and that's the living scriptureness, not like a neutered dead thing, but you'll be alive, and then and the downloads will be revelatory, yeah? Yeah. You know, like a depository, stuff will download in you, and some of it, it will reveal itself in just energetically sometimes, but sometimes it translates into words. If your seat assignment is, let's say, as a mailman, you know, to you know, to offer an invitation. I'd never planned that any talk ever. I just sit here, go here, and the faith is obvious. Things just do what they do. Yeah. Simple as that. But now it's alive for me, at least, you know? It's like, it's a very intimate sense of prior to experience. And then you start realizing all the personalities that you've had were experiences, really. they were saying that they were having the experience, but they were experiences that the mind was having, you know? When you had the little baby phase, furry personality, then you're young, and then you're a teenager, seemingly, all these masks that seem to hover around this seeming body, they were all just experiences. There was no one doing it, having a... There was no... That wasn't your personality. The personality is an experience mind's having. Yeah. We keep the mental state tries to give because of even a little bit of duration, it says that's like continually. It's not continually. Everything is coming and going except what's here. Yeah? And I would say we are what's here. So when the selfing gets arrested by something happens or something like you get an accident or something just wakes you up to the moment so severely, something opens up, right? All of that is just what you come to is what's always so, yeah? So when the selfing stops, you continue. Yeah. When the selfing stops, when thoughts stop, you continue. When feelings stop, you continue. You are the real priorness, not the presupposed, but the actual one. Yeah. And I believe that's what you're looking for. That's what I'm looking for. What's looking is what I'm looking for. You know? Put it to the test. See what happens. Yeah. That's called faith. You don't have to throw. Maybe you don't have to throw so many logs on the fire. For me, I find the fire self-generating. You know, one log will do, and then the mind entertains, and then the mind flares up. And just like they used to say, you can see the whole ocean in one drop of water. That's mind. Mind can just get a little tidbit like this and open up vast, vast storage space of realization. You know, just unbelievable amount of, ha-ha! Yeah, there's no stopping it. Just give it a little bit and see how far it will go. But you don't need to keep pouring shit into it. You can fucking exhaust it. It's like if you had an old type of car and it died, and then you knew a little bit about a car, so you had your friend there, and you'd say, you would say, all right, bro, get the gas can out of the back, take the air filter off, put just a couple drops of gas, I pump the gas, and then the engine would start, right? What happens if you pour more gas in? It floods it again, yeah? All you need is a couple of drops. All you need is an invitation, yeah? Let the mind start unfurling and see where it takes you, yeah? You don't have to rush and throw more logs in. It'll burn and it'll produce its own burning, yeah? It will lose all of what you call you as fucking kindling. You won't be warming by the fire, you'll be the fire. Tell you what I tell people, I say, you know, it's like being on an operating table. Don't get up, don't play doctor, and everything will work out. Let the undoing keep going, man. What's undoing the only thing that can be undone is what can be undone. What you are can't be undone. What you are doesn't slough off. What you are doesn't need moisturizer. It doesn't need a lot of vigilance. It just is. It's emanating in and of itself, yeah? You don't have to stoke it. Like they used to say in Zen, you know, polishing the mirror. You know, you don't have to polish the mirror. All you do when you do that is you see yourself polishing. Step away and you'll see the incredible, infinite reflectiveness of the mind. Yeah? But when you're there polishing it, that's what you see. It's like being in a movie, and then some big thing's blocking the film, and you, hey, get, sit down, and you realize it's your head. Oh, I'm the one that's blocking it. Yeah, it's your, get down. It's like when you do any investigation. Let's look at the mental state like a serial killer, yeah? So you follow all the clues, and then it brings you back to the lair, and you're in, going into the killer's apartment, and you see, like, your jacket's in the closet. That looks like my jacket. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. I'm the thief that turned himself into policeman to catch the thief that I am. You don't see that as funny? I think it is hilarious, man. Because that's the situation we're in. You know what I mean? Where did you hide the gun? Well, I think it's in the drawer. That's my house anyway. It's right there. What? Oh, yeah. You're coming in for investing. Yeah. You're coming in for questioning. Okay. Who am I? Go away. The blood's on you. You're the killer. Oh, no. What happens is you find out you're the killer and you still continue to search. You just refuse to let it dawn on you. Fucking no. No. Like, I remember I read this transcript of a teacher I used to like. I haven't heard from him in a while. But he did a four-page, it was like four-page when they transcribed it. And it was a very eloquent soliloquy on non-doership. And the first paragraph after he was done, it said student. And the student goes, all right, I understand completely what you said. Now, what do I do? That's what it's like. This speed bump is unbelievable. It just pops up all the fucking time. You know what I mean? Really, it just, we can't seem to get prior to the fucking thing. Yeah, but we are. Yeah. That's why they revealed this. They didn't tell us this to torture us. They were trying to save us some time. They said maybe there's going to be a presupposing of a false non-existent thing as you, and that you is going to try to get salvation, yeah? But the salvation is only from the non-existent thing, not for the non-existent thing, but the salvation will be construed to be for it. And that's how it, nothing fucking works. See, it's a small, it's like that old story where a new abbot comes to the monastery and he says to the guy, one of the monks, he says, I want you to go down to the library and I want you to re-edit, translate all the books. And he said, well, we just did that a few months ago. He says, I don't care, I want you to do it again. So this young monk goes down there and he's working all night and with the candles and he's going over it and then suddenly goes, what? And he runs up to the stair and he knocks on the abbot's door at 2 a.m. and the abbot goes, who is it? He says, I got to talk to you, I got to talk to you. So the abbot opens the door, he says, the word was celebrate. Not celibate. See, that's what happens. One little change. I can look at what happens to fit. So you hear the message, you're a lion, you're a lion, and you're a lion. But the way the head is structured, it's taken itself to be a sheep before you know it. So when it hears the message, you may like the message, you're a lion, but as soon as it hits the sheep ear, it gets translated into, I can become like a lion. That's not the message. That is not the message. The message of non-duality is not two. It's a negation. Totally a negation. No affirmation, it's a negation. It's a clear seeing, not two, that there is no subject-object, there is no this or that, there is no separation, there's none of this, yes? It doesn't say what there is, it's just saying what there isn't. And in recognizing what there isn't, you find out what it is because you are what it is. By realizing what you're not, it will come to the point where you'll find out you are what it is. So some people in non-duality, which is very good, they'll say that you're not a body, and you're not a body, and that's true. But the dilemma is the mental state arises very quickly. So when you hear that you're not a body, it's being framed as a body. The first myth that goes up is the mental state, and it's going to take the message of not being a body, and it's going to frame it in body. And now I'm going to get very, very convoluted into, I'm not a body as a body. Yeah? That's the insanity of it. So people will call me, and when all they need is a good cry, but because they can't say, well, I'm sad, because that would mean imply a person. So they're like going around it, and finally they just burst out, my girlfriend left me. I go, hallelujah, you know? It took 20 minutes of, there is no girlfriend, there is no me, there is no sadness. It's all this fucking shit. Just fucking cry. You'll have better than going through this fucking insane babble, you know, for 20 minutes. It's like the, you know, it's like non-dual Pharisees, yeah? They've got the letter of the law perfect, but they've lost the spirit of it. The spirit is different than, you know, saying me or I or not me or I. It's something else, so. Not two. There's not you and me, this just is. Yes? This is a false subject that's masquerading the subjectivity as its own attribute. That's what this object does. The object claims subjectivity and says, I'm the one that's subjective. And that's the lie. That's the heist, so to speak. Yeah? That's what happens. So now suddenly it becomes two. I see you. Instead of seeing, it's me seeing you. Subject-object, here you go, duality's going, and now we want to get, as two-ness, we want to get into oneness, but it's the two-ness is too big to fit into oneness. There's the negation of two-ness, and see what happens, yeah? You can't fit subject and object into all there is. It won't fit. Seriously, you can get the most spiritual canine jelly, whatever that is, that lube. You're still not going to lube yourself in there. It's not going to happen. You can keep trying for a while. If you like being lubed up, go ahead. But seriously, you're the one that's getting poked. No. In a weird way. Oh, yeah, I better get off. Going X-rated now. It's been too many days.